Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. And I'm joined in studio by Fred Jackson. And joining us now, Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Morning.
Good morning / good afternoon. We have some of our listeners in the Eastern time zone. It is now 12:05 there. But anyway, whatever.
I took a nap this weekend. Anything happen?
Listen, it sounds funny, but my wife and I this was after church. And we go over to Granny's house, my daughter-in-law's grandmother.
Yeah.
She has us over for dinner, that whole side of the family, every Sunday, just about, after church. And sitting down on the couch, and boom, this pops. This story breaks at Granny's house. I'm just telling you, it was not shocking. We all kind of expected it. We had heard.
We were wondering, weren't we?
You know, the rumors that, you know, people behind the scenes were saying this weekend he's going to drop out. But it surprised Steve. It surprised some of the members of Biden's own campaign.
Yeah, they found out on Twitter.
Yeah.
So I've been doing this for, 24 or 5 years. You've been doing this for longer. Fred, have you ever been through 2 weeks like this in the news business?
Never. And I don't think in the history of the United States we have been through a presidential campaign, an attempted assassination,
right,
on the head of the Republican ticket, a failing in health head of the ticket on the Democrat side. They turn against the debate performance.
Yes.
I've never seen anything like that. I mean, I actually felt sorry for Joe Biden that night.
Yeah.
When I was watching this, I said, this poor man. He shouldn't be there.
He was being used. That's why I felt bad for him.
I felt sorry for him. But the flip side of that was he, with the encouragement, as we've talked about before with his wife, wanted another run at this. But because of the bad performance, the world piled onto him.
You know, I will say this. I have never seen that abrupt a change in someone's political fortunes.
Yes.
On the basis of one debate.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I mean, I've never seen that.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Fred will know about this, but in the newsroom, when there's something that breaks, like a 9/11 or something, there's a energy that comes into a newsroom. You kind of, all of a sudden, time,
adrenaline, you know,
yeah.
You just.
Well, it is, and time kind of slows down a little bit, and you're just doing, you look up and it's, maybe it speeds up. You look up and it's nighttime and you're just immersed in it.
Right.
I'm learning that adrenaline has its limits.
Yes, because of all that's going on.
Oh my gosh.
Well, yeah, there's just so much going on. And the story isn't over yet.
Right.
I mean, there's so much going on in the background. There's the war still going on between Israel,
yes,
and Hamas terrorists.
That's been shoved. I don't even say in the closet, but it's under the bed right now.
Right.
Well, a lot of people don't realize that in the last 3 days, Israel struck the Houthi rebels.
Yes, and basically burned down a port.
These are stories that are going on that normally would make headlines, but they've been shoved aside because of what's happening here.
While we're not paying attention, the rapture.
Yeah. Well, I hope that
Steve. Yes. I will not be here for that.
I hope there's nobody left in the newsroom.
That's right.
After that happens.
Oh, my gosh. So I have been spending the last hour watching this hearing. I know you guys cover a little bit of the opening of it and everything.
This is the Cheadle hearing.
The head of the Secret Service is sitting in front of a House committee, and they've invited not only the members of the Oversight Committee, but they, like, Jim Jordan is there, and Speaker Johnson was invited in, and it's a full house. And it's been amazing. You heard kind of the overarching themes, which are Republicans saying, how could you fail us this much? And Democrats saying, gun control. But it hasn't been, it's been remarkably bipartisan in some areas. Now, Ms. Cheadle,
in terms of criticism.
In terms of criticism, Ms. I'm going to play you two cuts, if I may. Ms. Cheadle was the first person to ask her questions. Was Jim? Well, the second person, third person actually, after the ranking member and the head of the committee, was Jim Jordan. He did not let her off the hook at all. I want you to listen to cut 17.
Director, were you guessing or lying? Day after President Trump is shot, Secret Service spokesman Anthony Guglielmi said, quote, the assertion that a member of the former president's security team requested additional security resources that the U.S. Secret Service or the Department of Homeland Security rebuffed is absolutely false. But 5 days later, the Washington Post said this, top officials repeatedly rejected requests from Donald Trump's security detail for more personnel. So which is it? Because both statements can't be true. Were you guessing or lying when you said you didn't turn down requests from President Trump's detail?
Neither, sir, and I appreciate the question.
Well, what were you doing? Because those statements don't jive.
So what I can tell you is that for the event in Butler, there were no requests that were denied. As far as requests...
Well, maybe they got tired of asking. Maybe you turned them down so darn much they said, not worth asking. How many times did you turn them down ahead of that?
I think that it is important to distinguish between what some people may view as a denial of an asset or a request.
Well, is Mr. Guglielmi your spokesperson?
Yeah.
Wow.
So a lot of her answers are, well, we're in the middle of an investigation and I can't really talk about that. Or I'm not sure yet because we're in the middle of an investigation. a lot of that going on. From the Democrats, there was a lot of gun control. In fact, it was really funny because one member, and I didn't get his name, but one member asked a question. I'm sure he expected the standard Democrat answer, easy peasy, right? He said, does having a whole bunch of AR-15s out on the street make your job harder or easier?
Brother.
To which Cheadle said, we're always looking at the threat assessment. That's not what I asked you. Harder or easier?
Oh, he wanted to press her on that.
Yeah, he wanted an answer. He wanted an easy gun control answer, and she did not give it to him. You should have seen him. He was flustered. I thought you were a Democrat appointee. How can you not know the answer to this question? Okay, this may never happen again in the history of this program, but I want to give props to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
This could be a firing offense. I'd be careful. It might be very careful.
It might be. One of the questions that was asked was, okay, so you're in the middle of this investigation. When might you have an answer? To which wasn't sure, and the chairman of the committee, Comer, kind of pressed her on it. I want you to hear her answer and then AOC's answer at Cut 18.
I can tell you on our mission assurance internal investigation, we are targeting to have that completed within 60 days. There's also an external investigation that is going to be taking place. There are a number of Office of Inspector General investigations as well.
Director Cheadle, respectfully, what you had just laid out about 60 days, we are currently in the midst of an especially concentrated presidential campaign in the moment. That is also paired with, of course, elections happening across the country that are happening in about 100 days. So the notion of a report coming out in 60 days when the threat environment is so high in the United States, irrespective of party, is not acceptable. There need to be answers. This is not a moment of theater. We have to make policy decisions, and we have to make them now. We do. And that may be and that may require legislation. That may require policy that we must pass in the immediate term. And without that, we are flying blind. So the lack of answers and the lack of report is just simply not something that we can accept here.
So, and that was.
I'm with you. That's a good answer. That's a good response.
There were a number of Democrats that pressed her on this. A number of Democrats that said, you need to step down and be fired. A number of Democrats that just were not buying her answer at all. So it was a pretty bipartisan hearing. Pretty remarkable.
Fred, I will say that, and I find myself, I'm questioning my own sanity here, but like Steve, I'm giving a thumbs up to AOC because. I mean, we just recently had Robert F. Kennedy Jr. get Secret Service protection. Mm-hmm. It took an assassination attempt. Mm-hmm. He's been requesting it and not receiving it. He finally got some. I agree with AOC. If Cheadle cannot figure out what went wrong in Pennsylvania, this assassination attempt, with clear missteps by the Secret Service, just it's like in football, blown coverage, okay? Not having snipers up on the roof where the assassin was, or not all those things we talked about all last week. If she can't figure out what went wrong, and it so that she can prevent it from happening again, whether it's the Trump or whoever is on the Democratic side or RFK Jr. or whatever, she needs to go, because this is it may not be dereliction of duty, but it's certainly incompetence on her part.
Let me draw a comparison between the reaction to the Trump-Biden debate and what happened in the assassination attempt. The performance by Joe Biden was so bad, even the people who normally support him had to admit it.
Right.
It was on display for the whole world to see. It wasn't a matter of, well, the Republicans interpreted it that way. Nobody said Joe Biden had a good night.
Right.
Nobody
did. Including Joe Biden.
Including Joe Biden. Then on this side, the reporting on what happened there at that rally just over a week ago, the reporting has been so good. The pictures, so many people have this instrument in their hands now. Their
cell phone.
Their cell phone. The videos that have come out of the young man, Crooks.
Crooks, yes.
Matthew
Crooks.
Who carried out the attempted assassination. Showing him walking around the building. Now we've seen videos. We've seen videos of him crawling on that roof. We have reports now of the local police department. There was a police officer took the foot of another police officer to lift him up, and they saw him, and the crooks pointed the weapon at him. There's been so much good reporting.
There were videos of people saying, hey, there's a guy on the roof.
We hear them. There's a guy over
there. Minutes before the shots rang out.
Yeah.
Exactly. So the reporting has been so good, so clear on that. It is hard for Ms. Cheadle to say we need 60 days to figure out what went wrong. Here's what went wrong.
Yeah.
You had a facility within 130 yards of where President Trump was speaking, and you did not think to cover that off.
Right.
The initial reporting was saying there were police inside the building.
Yes.
Give me a break. So people were seeing this guy crawling on the roof. He had a weapon. The only question is, why weren't the snipers told, get this guy down right now?
Right.
That's the only question. And we don't need 60 days to discover this.
Listen, I understand that in politics, Steve, when you appear before an oversight committee like Kim Cheadle is doing, it's still going on, right?
It is.
Okay. When you appear before that, part of your job is to deflect. I understand that. It is to maybe cover, obfuscate, deflect, point the finger at somebody else. I understand that's the way things go in Washington, D.C.
That is the way things go. I don't think that's the way it's supposed to go, though.
No, I think people want answers. So even though I understand what she's doing, this is such a serious subject. This isn't talking about the Biden administration's green approach to electric vehicles,
right?
Things that we're going to be discussing for the next 7-8 years. This is about, as AOC said, as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said, we're talking about the fact that public figures running for president could be in danger going forward of another assassination attempt. What are you doing about it? And she's saying, we're going to take 60 days to decide.
We've got to give it a tough look. Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the obvious questions was, if you saw this guy walking around, first of all, was the Secret Service told about him half an hour before they had eyes on this guy? And like we were just saying, people were shouting at them, this guy's crawling on the roof, he's got a gun. Why did you put the president on the stage?
Right.
Well, and her answer was, there is a difference between a a suspicious person and a threatening person.
Yes, he was considered a half hour before President Trump
suspicious.
Spoke. He was considered a person of interest, but not a threat.
She used the word suspicious.
Yeah.
And there's suspicious, there's a lot of suspicious people, and we don't necessarily, well, there was clearly a breakdown, obviously, of communication.
But surely these are trained people, and I have so much respect for the Secret Service, because what they did with the former President Trump that day piled on right away.
Right.
But how long would it take, hold the president off to the side, and even if it's a person of interest, let's check this guy out on the roof.
Yeah.
Let's
do a background check.
Let's do a quick check with him.
Let's call his parents.
Yeah.
Since he's living with them.
All right. No, you aim the sniper aims at him and says, somebody needs to go down there and they need to say, okay, who are you? What you doing up there? You've got a gun? That's it. The president stays behind the stage.
Right.
That's where he stays until this guy's unarmed.
Yeah.
It's pretty basic stuff, but the basic stuff did not happen that day. And that's why I believe you're seeing the Democrats joining with the Republicans saying, this is unacceptable behavior.
And she's refusing. Every time they say, are you going to step down? Or are you going to be held accountable? I am committed to making sure that we find good answers.
She's got a posh job, yeah, making a bundle of money. And unless she's forced out, she's sticking with it.
Kind of like Biden for a while. Maybe the same thing's going to happen to her.
This is the way people make their, quote-unquote, their fortune in D.C. They've been doing it for decades.
Yep.
All right, what else we got?
I'd like to know just how serious the infirmity of our current president is. I've heard from medical people who are watching him who say that they expect to hear the word Parkinson's in the not-too-distant future. As a cause of his mental and his
physical problems.
I'm not making that diagnosis. I'm not a doctor. And a doctor would have to.
So why do you?
People that I know and that I trust say these are the signs.
Okay.
When your gait gets stiff like that, when your jaws slack open.
Kind of suddenly too.
Yeah.
Relatively sudden.
And when you can't put thoughts together.
Yeah.
That's classic signs of Parkinson's disease. And what made me kind of wonder about how bad this was, now you guys have heard this clip and you might have a different thought about it, but this is CBS, I believe it is, reporting on what Joe Biden's brother said.
Is it Fred? What's his brother's name?
What? No, that's his name.
yeah. John?
Yeah, it'll come to me in a second.
All right.
But I want you to listen.
Matt? Steve? All right, I'm looking it up.
Yeah. Listen to Cut 14. Something stood out at me here.
Here's what he told us. He said, I'm incredibly proud of my brother. Selfishly, I will have him back to enjoy whatever time we have left. He is a genuine hero.
I'm sorry. Whatever time we have left?
Okay, so you're saying
James,
that
Jim Biden.
Jim?
That was Jim Biden.
Jim Biden? Okay.
That they were talking about.
All right. I was Samsonite, I was way off. never mind. It's an old joke. Okay, so whatever time we have left. Okay, so are you saying that some people are questioning whether that is a comment by Joe Biden's brother Jim in reference to the fact that he may have some debilitating disease rather than the fact that they're both up there in age?
That's what you say when your spouse is diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and they decide not to treat it anymore. You say, we're bringing him home. We're going to enjoy whatever time we have left.
Mm. Well, Fred, I'll tell you this. If first of all, we talked about in the last hour, and Steve, you can comment on this as well, that Kamala Harris has got some explaining to do,
yeah,
in terms of her obvious, if there is something wrong with Joe Biden,
mm-hmm,
Kamala Harris is going to have some explaining to do as to why she helped cover that up. But if Joe Biden does have a debilitating physical ailment,
mm-hmm,
he should not be president.
That's right.
He should be, on the basis of the 25th Amendment, he should be stepping down and allowing Kamala Harris to be sworn in as president.
Yeah. Well, there are people who are saying that this morning. They are saying that if he is stepping aside because he does not have the mental capacity to continue in a second term, Well, if he's at that stage now, we should not allow him to still be in the most powerful political position in the world for the next 4 or 5 months. That somebody else needs to be in charge. Because given the turmoil in the world right now, China threatening, Russia threatening, Iran threatening, all of these countries.
North Korea is always threatening.
North Korea. You've got bad actors out there. We need somebody with stability, somebody who is able to make decisions at 3 o'clock in the morning when they get that information that the United States is under threat or our soldiers somewhere are under threat. A president has, the commander-in-chief has to make decisions. So that is kind of the B part of this story today, is that, okay, if there is an admission that he doesn't have the capacity to do a second term, maybe we need somebody in there right now. And I, quite frankly, if they do make that transition to the Vice President Kamala Harris, I don't have a lot of confidence in her either.
Well, and that's one of the reasons I don't think they're pulling the trigger. It's interesting. I've heard a number of...
Probably a bad choice of words.
Oh, did I
say... Pulling the trigger.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean that. That was inadvertent or maybe Freudian. I've heard a number of pundits say that this should be the first thing you'd bring up on Kamala Harris. Because, okay, so... Donald Trump is now ostensibly going to be, or if things work out the way it looks like they will, he's going to be running against a woman. He will lose badly in public opinion if he nicknames her Bird Brain or something like that.
Yes.
That just will not work.
He's got to not do that.
So you got to find some way to attack her without making it be sexist or gender-based. And one of the first things they say that he should do is call her out for lying, because for the last 2 years, she has been face-to-face with Joe Biden, and she has seen this decline. And as of 2 weeks ago, she was continuing to say, he's sharp as a tack. When I'm with him, every answer is detailed, and he knows what he's doing.
Well, I we talked about this in the last hour. Nobody so far has said, even though everybody knows the reason Joe Biden is stepping aside is because of that disastrous debate, which revealed he has not only lost his fastball, he can't reach home plate.
Right.
Okay. Everybody knows that. But even though everybody knows that, that is not what Joe Biden said was the reason. So I guess the defense for Kamala Harris, she would just have to lie. She would have to say, if asked that by Donald Trump, she'd have to say, no, that is not the reason why he stepped down. He has been mentally sound the whole time I've known her.
I grant you.
Even though we all know that that's
not
true. It would
take some incredible political courage for her to do that. But for whatever it's worth, that's not what's coming out of her mouth at this point.
Have you heard anything, by the way, in terms – because we were all told – Joe Biden's not stepping down, okay?
So
even
far.
On Friday.
He's disappeared since we haven't heard from him or seen him. He's gone back down into his basement since the letter came out.
Is there anything behind the scenes to indicate that Joe Biden might be forced to step down as president?
I have not heard anything at this point.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, like we've been talking about, I don't make any predictions anymore. No. It's hard to figure out what's going to happen next in the United States of America. It's chaos, people. Chaos. All right. That's all the time we have for this edition of Today's Issues. By the way, there is more great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. A lot of great programming to listen to throughout the day. You can catch the podcast of this show. It was so brilliant. You can listen to it as many times as you want by going to AFR.net. Checking out podcasts, drop down menu and scroll down. Hey, Lord willing, we'll see you again tomorrow for this program. God bless.